Not to be that guy, but it is tax day. I'm David Brancaccio. It's April 15th. File your tax return or do the extension. In 12 states, people can use a pilot IRS direct file system to directly file their taxes online, going around sometimes pricier private systems. For now, the IRS arrangement is for basic tax returns like W-2 income with the standard deduction. But the Intuits and H&R Blocks of the world are offering jazzier systems driven by new forms of artificial intelligence. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has that.
Late last year, Intuit and H&R Block introduced dueling AI assistants.
Mostly, kind of support self-service intelligence rather than click a button, fill your taxes out for you.
Analyst Alex Zukin at Wolf Research says both AI tools are built on large language models like ChatGPT, but trained on tax sources. Intuit's assistant acts as more of a guide, creating checklists or scanning for missing information, while H&R Blocks is more of a customer support chatbot.
But since the technology is new, we cannot fully rely on that.
Subodh Kumar heads the Center for Business Analytics and Disruptive Technologies at Temple University, which has tested the tools. He found they sometimes provided irrelevant information and couldn't answer complex questions. Both platforms will connect users with a human to assist when needed, and the companies offer accuracy guarantees. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
People new to filing may not know if you go for an extension today and you're set for a refund, no harm, no foul, other than it takes longer to get your money. But if you end up owing money to the government, you'll pay extra for not getting all your money in by today. The word penalty is used. There's news. Samsung, playing artificial intelligence to its favor, has just jumped ahead of Apple to become the top seller of smartphones in the world. This is with an assist from a fast-rising Chinese firm.
Apple's iPhone sales fell about 10% in the first 3 months of the year, according to the data firm IDC. Samsung's phone shipments fell less than 1%, helping it inch ahead in market share. Samsung limited its losses thanks to a refreshed flagship smartphone, touting new artificial intelligence capabilities. Chinese smartphone maker Xiaomi, with a lower-priced premium device, grew sales by 34%, chipping away at the two big players' dominance. The back and forth will have its next round in June, when Apple holds its Worldwide Developers Conference, unveiling its latest mobile operating system. Investors are waiting for news of new AI capabilities. I'm Novosafo for Marketplace.
Amid worry about higher interest rates, the S&P on Friday posted its biggest drop since January, down 1.5%. This morning, S&P futures are up 0.4%, and given the sense that the Iran-Israel tensions may be lower this morning, crude oil is down 0.9%, $84.86 a barrel. In this election year, we've been focusing on the business models that are failing or informing voters on local issues in a country with more than 200 counties where there is no substantial local news source. Today, how people living in news deserts don't always know it. Jessica Collier is lead researcher on a report from the University of Texas Austin Center for Media Engagement. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk more about news deserts.
Yeah, I mean, how do you define those things? I mean, they're not news vacuums. They're something else.
I would classify them as a community where residents do have limited access to news and information about local issues or local politics.
What have you found about people's perceptions about news deserts versus reality?
46% of news deserts residents disagreed or strongly disagreed that their community is a news desert. And when you pry a little bit more into why that is, they say things like, we do have access to news about our community, or we do get information from word of mouth or other people, or they say things like they turn to social media for news.
First of all, you may have a trusted friend or associate who does their homework and is useful in helping you to form, for instance, your voting decisions on election day. But that doesn't mean you have a fleet of local reporters sitting in at school board meetings or county council meetings.
Certainly. And there are issues with having untrained individuals kind of be your person for that type of information. But we actually also looked at the content that exists in news deserts and specifically on Facebook. So we called librarians in local news deserts across the country and asked them, you know, where do people in your community go for news? And we started compiling a list of reported Facebook pages that we received from those conversations. And when you look at the content on those pages, they're actually meeting some critical information needs in their communities. For those posts, we didn't really see a lot of problematic content in terms of misinformation or gossip or local rumor mill type stories.
So you didn't see specific problems with some of these non-standard ways to get information these days. So is there a problem then with news deserts if there are these alternate means of getting information?
I think that news deserts are still an issue. I think it's important to also see how people see their own information environments in order to tailor our solutions appropriately to those communities, because what works in one community or county may not be what necessarily works in another. And looking to these places where people are kind of sustaining their information environment in the absence of traditional journalism and trained journalists, maybe we might be able to learn some things from the way that those communities are operating.
Jessica Collier, lead researcher on a report from the University of Texas Austin's Center for Media Engagement on News Deserts. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All of our Democracy in the Desert coverage on News Deserts and new approaches to local news can be viewed and streamed from marketplace.org online. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report, and we are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.